We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Eastern, everyone.
This yes.
Blessed Easter. With the basics on this Saturday morning, almost a week after the resurrection of our Lord at Easter Sunday celebration. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And you know, I'm thinking, I'm Pastor John Lukumski. I should mention that from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity and Darmstadt. But I was just thinking, so at this point, all the apostles and the women are celebrating the fact that he's risen from the dead, and Thomas is still going, I don't believe it. I don't believe it unless I see it with my own eyes and touch his side and his hands and feet with my own fingers. I won't believe it.
Doubting Thomas. Yep, yeah, yep. Can you believe that? But everyone else, though, no. They
no,
believe.
They've seen. They're rejoicing.
They're rejoicing.
Celebrating. All right, so we have a couple of exciting things to start off with here. First of all, Matt, I should have mentioned this last week, but we were trying to take a little more serious tone with that final Saturday in the Lenten season and Holy Week. But at our last midweek Lenten service, Matt,
yes,
Doris Kelly was there, and so was Ray Cause. Ray was actually playing the organ. So we had the totality of our listeners at my service, outside of our family. But I think I think pretty much it's Doris and Ray. I don't know if anyone else do you. Well, there's that one boy that's in your son's class. He listens too.
Nathaniel.
Yeah.
So
I guess half of our listeners were there at that one service.
Hey.
Yeah. So again, Doris, thank you for coming out for the Lenten services. And Ray, we always appreciate your organ playing. And Nathaniel, yes, and your mom. We're glad someone's listening.
That's
and now,
exactly right.
Now here's what's really exciting, Matt. So we've been laying off the humor, okay? Because
yes.
We do put the
fun in the fundamentals.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But we laid off of that because of we wanted to show some respect to the papal dictum, humorius lentatum nohaha, from
right.
Pope Aloysius III, who said, you can do jokes, but they can't be funny.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm so excited because now we can go back to doing funny jokes.
We can actually do the funny jokes again. Oh, good.
All right.
Finally, it's been a long Lent, a long 40 days.
So you ready?
Now we can, yes.
Are these
Yes, that's what
we are ready.
I don't even know where to start because these are so
it's so that good.
Yeah, they are. What does a clock do when it's hungry?
it
goes 4 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. Broken pencils are pointless.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you call a dinosaur with an extensive vocabulary?
What do you call him?
A thesaurus.
I get it.
Okay. I took a job at a bakery because I needed dough.
Well, that was getting there.
Okay.
Now,
well,
wait a second. Weren't these supposed to be
these
funny?
Are I guess.
These sound pretty much the same as what we were telling.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Well,
okay,
what's the deal here?
So maybe it wasn't Lent.
Maybe it's just
our jokes. Okay, no more broken pen. I'm scratching these off because we certainly don't want to do them again.
Well, Dave Letterman usually tosses them away. We need to start doing that. Just throw them out the door.
Oh, Velcro. What a ripoff. Okay.
Oh, boy, well, that was that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Doris. She probably doesn't want her name mentioned in the same context of these jokes.
Please do not associate. We just lost half our listenership.
That's right. All right, here it is. It's the week after Easter, and so this is what Matt and I thought we would do. We would share with you our favorite Easter stories. It's kind of like just being with Matt and John and their favorite Easter stories. So I like the one about the little bunny. No. Not that
Quit
Easter story.
Making things up.
No.
All right. Can I share with you my favorite Easter story?
Please do. So you have four to pick from, right? So we have the four Gospels, and they all touch on Jesus' resurrection. That central account of the gospel. And so you have a favorite out of the four?
Well, I guess you could even throw in 1 Corinthians 15, too, because he talks about that.
Yeah.
Well, here's my favorite. My favorite is actually the Gospel of Mark.
Okay.
Can I read it for you? It's pretty short and to the point, not like some of the other gospel writers. That's why he's the Reader's Digest version of the Bible.
Of the Bible, Mark. Gospel of action.
That's right. That's the other. He's actually the action movie version too, isn't he? Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger would certainly be in the movie of the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome. Is it Salome or Salome?
I just know it's not salami.
Oh, for all these years, I've been pronouncing it wrong. Oh, I wish you'd said something. How come you didn't say something on Vicarage? I wondered what you were chuckling for when I said, and salami.
It's become kind of a tradition over New York. They just wait for every year they gather around for Easter and listen to Pastor John pronounce their name salami.
So very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And I'm thinking, why couldn't they have slept in? Because now we're condemned to doing early services every Easter.
I know, that's the thing. Even what other gospels, even while it was still dark, it was just that early. And now here we are. You're out in your graveyard in Darmstadt.
Although, actually, I think what the tradition should be is that all the men get to sleep in and all the women can go to early church.
Isn't that what the text says?
That's exactly.
Some biblical foundation for that.
Okay, anyway, they were saying...
sarcasm when you hear it?
Thank you, Matt. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of story.
And this is the gospel of the Lord.
This is the gospel of the Lord, yes. Of course, if you get out your Bibles, you'll notice there are some more additional verses there, but you'll also notice there's a footnote that probably those were tacked on at a later date.
Yeah.
Of course, they argue maybe we lost the last page of the Gospel of Mark because it just doesn't seem like you'd end a gospel with them being afraid. But it is why it's my favorite gospel, Matt. You were teasing me in between recording, and you called me a dark Lutheran. I am a dark Lutheran, and I wish I wasn't that way, but it is the way God has made me. And so I can identify with these people who have just seen the greatest miracle that has ever happened in the history of the world. The tomb is empty. It is witnessed by angels, and they're still afraid. But that's why I love the story, because Jesus is still resurrected from the dead, and Jesus still loves these women, and he's going to forgive them, and he's going to come and show himself so that they might believe. And that's what I love about our Lord. In my midst of my doubts and my troubles and my confusion and questions, he's still my Lord. He's still with me, and he still forgives me and still wants to gently lead me in green pastures and still waters. So anyway, that's my favorite. Plus, it's short.
No, it's just the greatest miracle ever, really, I think we can say, Jesus' resurrection. But it leaves you hanging like this. So why do you think Mark ends his gospel that way? Do you have some insight as to that? Why he ends it with saying that they went afraid, terrified, not saying anything to anyone? Why stop there?
I thought about maybe it doesn't end there, honestly. There are other manuscripts that do add more on, although when you read those manuscripts, you really do get the impression they were simply copying stuff from some of the other gospels, and they felt too that, well, you can't end it there. I've always thought that I like that kind of tension in Mark's ending, that this is true. He's risen from the grave. It's changed everything. But sometimes we don't perceive that. But the fact that we don't perceive it doesn't change it.
Yeah,
it doesn't make it unreal.
That's a great point. He's still rose from the dead. He's still living and lives and reigns for all eternity. Yeah, nothing will change that. And I like to think that at some point these women did tell other people, too.
Yes.
I mean, because we look at these other accounts where here we have an angel confronts them and with this miracle. And there's other accounts where angels appear and talk to people. I think of the shepherds, and I think of, you know, even the Mount of Transfiguration, not angels, but Jesus himself. And there's that fear, too, and kind of dumbstruck almost. But now with the shepherds, they do kind of leave with haste and tell people, which is kind of interesting. But
that's not as frightening to hear that someone's alive as to come and find someone's dead body missing.
So, yeah, I'm sure the women did go and tell. And now if you know, I think, too, we see that it's our job to go and tell this good news that he is risen.
Well, and see, that's what I like, because you're right. I mean, we can read from the other Gospels. In fact, we're now going to do your favorite Gospel. And there are accounts of where Christ does appear to them. He shows his hands and feet to them, even will show his hands and feet to doubting Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. And of course they do. And they act as believers and they share it. But it's nice to know that that isn't what makes us a disciple. What makes us a disciple is that Christ has suffered and died for us and has made us promises in his words. Sometimes we understand that and act on that. Sometimes we still are confused and have doubts about it. But it doesn't change the truth of it. That's the thing. Our reaction to it doesn't change the truth of it. Now, of course, I don't want to fall in the ditch of the other side. If you out and out reject it, if you just say that's a lie, I don't believe that, I don't want that, I think God still loves you, but God's going to have to work on you a little bit. Because out and out rejection, no, that's not going to work. But I think he does bear with us in our times of doubt and our times of fear, as he does with these women in this tomb. So.
You bet. Yeah, I like that point a lot, that their reaction doesn't change the fact that Jesus is risen.
Yeah, that's
a great point.
So what's your favorite account?
Well, you know, it's hard to pick one out. I don't know if I have a favorite account. I know I don't want to weasel out of it, but I think if we go to the Gospel of
John. You're just afraid of the letters you'll get from John or Matthew or Luke. Yeah.
No apostles writing in, please. No. I'm sure they're listening.
They may be. Who knows?
But the let's look at the Gospel of John.
So okay.
We did Mark. All right. Let's look at John. And we have these different readings for Easter Sunday. One is usually assigned as the early morning gospel, and you know, for your sunrise services, and then one for the later morning, the regularly scheduled services too. So which one is the early sunrise one, did you say?
I think they all are, aren't they? They all have some reference.
Yeah,
same thing here. Not,
you know, in your Bible, on the Sunday service itself, the one we read on at Easter Sunday.
Oh, what text do we have?
Service.
I think it's John, isn't it?
I think it's typically
John. Yeah.
So this is kind of the sunrise service text.
Yeah.
We're in John chapter 20 here, beginning with verse 1.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. All right, there it is again. Why didn't you just sleep? He's risen from the dead. What are you getting up early for? That's my thought.
Yeah. Well, no, really. So why are they getting up early? That's probably a good thing to discuss since we keep mentioning it.
But why? To
finish that preparation of Jesus for his burial. Because they're fully expecting him, it appears, to be dead.
Yes.
To stay dead. You know, in spite of everything that he said, that, you know, in 3 days he'll rise. He even said 3 days. And yet they forget that. And yet they come expecting him to be in the grave, to stay in the grave as they finish that preparation of the body for burial, because they couldn't, because he died on that afternoon of Good Friday, the beginning of that Sabbath, where they just can't do it. They can't do that work.
And I'm starting to compile evidence now for why we should not be having early Easter services, because this is what they were doubters that got up early. They thought he was dead. That's why they got up.
So sleeping, you know, he's going to be alive.
That's right. Come to the 10:30 service. At this point, I don't care, because I'm going to have to be up for the early service anyway. All right. What else, Matt?
Okay. Well, let's keep reading.
Okay. Okay. The stone had been taken away from the tomb. Okay. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So despite all the signs and wonders, despite the fact that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, when she finds the tomb empty, she's thinking someone stole on the body.
Isn't that something? So that's the first reaction. Not, "Oh my goodness, Jesus kept his promise."
Yes.
"Oh, he's alive." No, someone must have taken the body. You know, and you know, in hindsight, we look at that and we know the rest of the story and think, how in the world could they even not realize that Jesus was alive. He's said it multiple times. You know, the Old Testament prophecies even point ahead to that, Jesus overcoming death. How could you not know it? But, you know, then we look at our own lives and the many promises that God makes to us, and yet we still doubt.
Yep, same doubts are there, even though, like you say, time and time again, he's shown us his power and his desire to help us, but as soon as there's a problem, same old doubts. We, too, would assume the worst, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
She's a good dark Lutheran, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's your buddy, you can hang out with Mary.
That's right. If the tomb's empty, someone's got a stolen the body. It can't be good.
It can't be that he's alive, no.
Yeah. You want me to keep on reading?
Sure.
So Peter went out with the other disciple, assume that's probably John. And they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, here it is, Matt, that he must rise from the dead.
Yeah.
Then the disciples went back to their homes.
Yeah, a lot of neat stuff in those closing verses, I think. First, you know, it's typical Peter. They run to the tomb. John gets there first. Peter, though, but waits, doesn't go into the tomb. Peter,
yeah, because you shouldn't.
Right in.
You do understand that. If you come home and you think your house has been broken into, you do not go into the house. You call the police because the burglars may still be there.
Yeah, so you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop Peter, though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he has a sword back on that he had in Gethsemane. Maybe he's ready for action. We don't know.
Oh, that's true, because he was the guy that was cutting off the ear. Yeah, yeah.
Lobbing ears off of people's heads.
You know, the other reason, though, I was thinking he probably wants to get in there first, because the last time he saw Jesus, he was saying, I don't know the guy. I've never met him before. Gosh darn it.
Maybe so. Jesus is in there somewhere, and he has some explaining to do.
Yeah, I need to talk to him before he talks to the other guys.
You wait out here. I'll head on in.
Yeah, because the other guys don't know that he's done that. There's that tension,
Peter,
you know.
To keep it that way.
Yep. All right.
Good. So they go in. He goes in, and I think this one detail seems sort of insignificant, but I think it has great significance. They talk about the burial cloths, the linen cloths, and how do they find the cloths?
Everything's neatly folded.
Yeah, isn't it something folded up in a place by itself? And we think, well, no big deal. Why does John give us that detail? But I think that's just further evidence that no, someone hasn't stolen the body as they suspect. If someone's going to steal a body away, they're not going to leave something neatly folded behind. Take time to do that. First of all, their hands are going to probably be full because they've got a dead body they're lugging around. And secondly, they want to get out of there. So for it to be neatly folded, no, it hasn't been stolen. No, this is something more.
So Lynn and I are sitting over the dinner table at a restaurant at Lobster Fest, and so she points out that if you're coming back to the table, you know, if you've just stepped away to use the ladies' room or the men's room, you'll fold your napkin neatly and you'll put it down on the table. But if you're done with supper, the way you let the waiter know you're done, you just crumple your napkin up and throw it on the table. And so I thought,
by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
So I said to her, so is that why Jesus folded the napkin up so he knew that he was coming back?
He was coming back.
So, but yeah, no, you're right. It's a great detail, and it does affirm that, yeah, he is resurrected. No one didn't steal the body. Any of your rookie CSIs would see this is not the evidence of a burglary.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, it's too orderly. Jesus isn't done with his lobster. He wants this cheddar biscuit
still. He's coming back. Just hang around. You'll see him in just a few minutes, which, of course, is what happens as the story goes on.
Yeah, good point. So, anyway, to move on here, went in and believe, and then that word from verse 9, as of yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So, again, you know, the scripture even that he must rise from the dead. I think, again, you know, Jesus owns words, but even in the Old Testament, you know, various places, the Psalms and other places that he's going to rise. And then I like that word must.
Oh, yes.
He has to rise from the dead. It's not an option. Good Friday can't be the end of the story. The Savior of the world can't stay dead. No, he must rise, conquering death itself. It's not an option. And then, like you pointed out, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 especially really hits that, nails that home, you know, that he must rise from the dead or else our faith is in vain.
Yeah, we're fools, he says. Fools. We're just a bunch of fools.
Why would we follow a dead
man? Yeah. Although all kinds of people do, don't they? That's the irony. In every other religion, people are following a dead guy. We're the only one where you can't find the bones.
Yeah. You can't find the bones of the ones we follow of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's a good point. And that's exactly right. And we rejoice over that.
And what a neat confession coming from John. That John says, yeah, there was a point that I didn't believe the way we should believe. We should all believe because of what the scriptures say. That's the only way that you'll have a faith that has any permanent lasting value. But John says, yeah, there was a point when I didn't believe because of scripture either. I was still looking for signs and wonders.
And even the last text, we looked at Mark, and even though there was some doubt there about Jesus' resurrection, we made the point Jesus still rose. And
exactly.
The same can be said here. As of yet, they did not understand the scripture. They didn't believe until they saw it with their own eyes. But again, Jesus still rose from the dead. That doesn't change that.
Don't you love that he doesn't say, oh, you don't believe me? Well, I guess I'm just going to go back into the tomb and roll my rock ahead. No, he doesn't do that.
No.
You can't get him back in the tomb. Your doubts aren't going to do that.
And, you know, and I think that speaks to why Jesus comes in the first place. Why did Jesus come to this earth in the first place, become flesh for us, become a man, suffer, die, and rise? It's not because of any merit or worthiness in us. It's not because he saw something in us and you know, our great faith, you know, I'm going to do this for these people. No, he did it purely out of love, out of this undeserved, grace-filled love for us. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he died. That's the reason he rose.
That great Pauline passage, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. While one might die for a righteous one, but no, while we were yet sinners. Yeah, so with all the doubt and all the questions.
You bet.
And he not only died, but he rose too. So, Do you want to go press ahead, Matt, or what do you think?
We can look at one more.
Okay.
Maybe we have time. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we'll take it as far as we can. We can pick it up next week. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, I wish I would have checked this out. I wonder if this is the same word that we had for weeping at Lazarus. I bet it is, probably. Because this, again, sincere weeping. She really is sad. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Any comments or questions about that matter?
Well, still, she's got the story wrong. You know, where is he? Where did they put him? Something must have happened here.
And I was going to criticize her because she actually saw two angels. I'm thinking, all right, I can understand an empty tomb, right? It does leave you a little confused. I mean, so everything is folded up. But now you got two bleeding angels in there. Come on, woman. But then, of course, in Mark, there was a whole bunch of women, and they didn't believe, and they saw angels too. So, okay. My apologies, Mary. I guess you're no different than, well, I'm no different than you are, I suppose. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Okay.
So, there's even Jesus.
So it's not bad enough she doesn't believe because of angels. She sees the Lord and doesn't believe. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Take us home, Matt.
Well, isn't that beautiful? I think where she finally realizes that it's Jesus risen from the dead is when he just simply says her name, Mary.
Yep.
How beautiful. You know, that spoken word from Jesus, the good shepherd who knows his sheep by name, the one who is called by the gospel, speaks that name, Mary, and that's it.
Knows him by name. What a nice passage, Matt.
And again, that same comfort for us too, that he knows us by name as well. And on the last day at resurrection, when he calls us home, you know, by name, we can look forward to that too, being with Jesus and Mary and the other apostles, where we see with our own eyes Jesus risen from the dead as we see our Savior face to face.
And as we heard from the Ezekiel passage last week, then we will know that it is the Lord.
Yeah, because, you know, you're almost envious. They got to see Jesus risen, but no, we'll get to too.
Blessed are those that haven't seen and have believed, John then says.
That sounds familiar. Very good. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.